the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 457 for Wednesday, the 8th of July, 2015. My name is Harry Lloyd, and I'm joined once again by Dave Neal. Dave, how is it going?
Oh, good, Harry. How are you?
Pretty all right after that bit of a fright you gave me at the start of the call. That may or may not make it into the outtakes, so listeners, be sure to, as always, listen right to the end to see how Dave gave me one or two mental scars.
You've got to be prepared for anything, you know, when you ring.
Yes.
You have to be prepared for anything. Great to be back on the show, mate. How's life out in Spain?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty busy. You know, not only are we doing the MotoGP.com stuff, getting a fair bit of work on there. Also, as people may or may not know, I've been commentating some CEV rounds. So that's the Moto2 and Superbike European Championship, and also the Junior World Championship for Moto3. So that's been a pretty cool experience, and I've been pretty hectic with that. But we're settling in, started looking at apartments. We'll hopefully have an apartment sorted in the next 2 weeks. And then, yeah, we can, you know, really get focusing on, you know, maybe going back to doing some live shows for Motopod like we promised about 3 months ago.
Yeah, we'll get those fitted in eventually. It's your fault for moving halfway across Europe.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I did listen to some of the commentary from the CEV over last weekend from Aragon. And, you did a sterling job, seriously. It can't be easy with all the pronunciations and riders that you've never heard of. And I have to say, and I know we've said it to you via email and personally and WhatsApp and everything else, but I have to say how proud, as Motopod as a collective, are of what you're doing. We couldn't be happy for you, mate. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. Yeah, it's actually surprising how much work commentating is. I'll probably take some photos of my commentary notes and upload them to the Motopod Facebook page, so that if anyone's interested, they can go see that sort of thing. But like, it took me about, you know, a week and a half to get all my notes together and to figure out how to lay them out and that sort of stuff. But you know, it's certainly a bit more difficult even than Motopod. Like, Motopod takes a fair bit of prep. But doing something like that live is it's pretty daunting. But thanks, you know, really do appreciate all the kind comments. And if anyone does have any constructive feedback, be it about Motopod, about the commentary, about you know, anything really, feel free to email us motopod@motopodcast.com or harry@motopodcast.com if you just want to tell me how I'm mispronouncing Juan Mir's name. As I still seem to flip between about three different pronunciations when I do CEV, but anyway.
Yeah, but you're one of a long list of commentators now who can't pronounce riders' names, so it's okay. You're in good company of
exactly.
I'm sure.
Exactly.
Steve Day is the man to speak to about prep for commentary. He is meticulous at his commentary preparation. All the stats and the bits and pieces that he comes out with, he's the only man I know that can have a stat off with Julian Ryder and almost win as lead commentator rather than the support man who's supposed to throw the little things in, you know, the little nuggets of pearl wisdom that come forward. So, Steve would be worth getting on and you having a chat with him, actually, about the commentary side of things. Which maybe something the listeners will be interested in, because we take it for granted about the commentary teams, whether you're a fan of from this side of the pond of Keith Hewan or shouty Jonathan Green on the other side of the pond. It'd be interesting to know a little bit more about that side of things. So once things progress on that front, we get yourself and Steve on the show, and we can have a chat about the commentary side of things. That's something I'd certainly be interested in. And if it's something the listeners would like to hear about, then, as you said previously, motopod@motopodcast.com. Let us know your thoughts. It's your show as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that'd definitely be something that I'm happy to talk about. You know, certainly me going into this whole air quotes commentary role, I sort of had no idea what to do. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the whole comment, the dark art of commentary and all that sort of stuff, so pretty unknown to everyone else.
Yeah, you just take it for granted that people know what they're talking about. Obviously, there's some level of prep to go into it, but how much is kind of the unknown bit to us. So, yeah, let's see if we can follow that along a little bit and see where it takes us.
Mm, but definitely in the next week, be sure to search on Facebook. If you're not already a fan of the Motopod page, search Motopod on Facebook, and I will have uploaded my Moto2, Moto3, and Superbike notes for CEV, so everyone can just have a bit of a look at them if they want. You know, it's nothing earth-shattering, but I don't know, maybe it's kind of interesting to other people, who knows.
Marvellous. And just before the listener feedback, in the true tradition of Motopod, That was a bit poor, wasn't it?
Really? Yeah, it was a bit. It sounded a bit like a fancy water that comes in a glass bottle.
I'm impressed. It's not fancy water, but it is a glass bottle. It's I'm on to the some would suggest slightly camp cider.
Fair enough. Whatever floats your boat.
The mixed berry version.
Oh, of very nice.
Recordling.
I unfortunately only have water, as I have to be up at 7 a.m. to get to work. So
okay. So no, cheers, everybody.
Yeah, cheers to everyone else. But while Dave ingests his beverage, we will thank the ever-present donators. We also have a new subscriber this week in Colbeer Mand. Hopefully I'm saying that name right. So a big thank you to you, Colbeer.
Well, unfortunately, it seems that Harry's internet's dropped out. So just in case we don't manage to make the show tomorrow night, as we've just agreed, I'll do a little solo effort now. So please don't turn off. You know, I'm not that bad, really. You just have to put up with my dulcet tones in your ears for a little while. We shall continue in the show in my own solo way. The first time I've done one, so please bear with me. It really isn't as easy as Harry makes it sound sometimes. We'll go on to the listener feedback. As a quick reminder, as we said earlier on, listener feedback should always be sent to motopod@motopodcast.com, and that goes to one and all of the hosts of the show. Listener feedback this week from Daniel Eric Wimon. Please, if I haven't said that right, Daniel Eric, please get in touch. Daniel Eric Wimon. The reply wouldn't send for some reason, so we're going to bring it into the show anyway and see how we get on. Good day, gentlemen. I have been listening to your podcast for some time. Very informative podcast, other than the occasional ob-subject deviations. I am a little perplexed as to why you never speak of the FIM World Endurance Series. Suzuka is this week. Do you think that this would be something you could have a go at? Is endurance a place where washed-up superbike racers go to once they are no longer courted by big teams in World Superbikes? But of course, thanks for listening, Daniel Eric, first and foremost. We do try and stay on topic, but sometimes Martin gets a little too excited about his helicopters and ends up going off on a tangent that only Martin can control. But we love him for that, and we wouldn't have him any other way, especially when you can get a 2.5-hour show out of two men talking about motorcycle racing. Only Motopod can do that, hence last week's show, which was a great listen. Guys, if you haven't had a listen, go back to it. Have a listen. It's all about Assen and that last chicane overtaking and the trip through the gravel. So treat your ears, and nice to hear the return of Jules as well on the show. We don't cover endurance purely because we have to draw the line somewhere. Our main focus clearly is World Superbikes, MotoGP and BSB, and also Moto America. Now that's becoming ever more popular and increasing its momentum, because these are the biggest series in the countries where most of our listeners are from. It really is that simple. We'll occasionally do a mention of World Endurance Championship races if someone big wins one, but mostly there's just not enough time in the day to cover them with real life and everything else that we do. It's a little bit on the difficult side, really, to encompass world endurance racing as well as the other series that I just mentioned. There are decent races in there, and there are some decent level riders, as with Suzuka coming up, with Casey Stoner, with Bradley Smith, with Paulo Espargaró, with Yuichi Kainari, and people of that level of racing. We will give that, obviously, a courteous mention next week when it's all completed and done, which quite looking forward to. Interesting to see how the big boys get on in Suzuka with the heat and the humidity if they're not used to it. There is some high esteem with Suzuka as well, and the large number of riders that are appearing for one-off rides, as we suggested just then. We'll certainly cover Suzuka after it happens. But as for the washed-up riders, there's a little bit of truth to that, but also the opposite is the case. Guys like Loris Baz got their first go on a big bike at places like the Le Mans 24 Hour and the Bol d'Or, and were able to impress Kawasaki top brass enough, and now he's in MotoGP. So it does work the opposite way as well. But yeah, thank you for your email. Thank you for getting in touch. And once again, for those of you listening out there, if you have a question, a query, kudos or complaints, it is motopod@motopodcast.com. And also, while we're on the subject of hosts and the show and what we can do and everything else, if you go to www.motopodcast.com, on the left-hand side of the page, about halfway down, there are two buttons. One says subscribe, one says donate. Feel free to click one of those buttons and help the show out, because every little bit we get towards the show is a massive help to keeping this this ship afloat and on some kind of course that that we're sailing at the moment. So if you do have a little bit that you can give to the show and to subscribe, or whether it's just a small donation, that everything is welcome, and we thank you very much indeed for that. Onto the news, a little bit of Anglo-American news coming in. John Hopkins is set to return to BSB at Brands Hatch, which is the next round, riding a Ducati for the Lloyd British Motor Rapido team. He does sound very determined and bullish as a rider, you would expect that, but it is his first time riding a Ducati, so how he'll get along with the twin is yet to be determined. He had a bit of a shakedown test at the Brands Hatch Indy Circuit on Monday or Tuesday of this week. Obviously no times released, anything else. The usual race team spin of it was a positive test, and he was full of beans about the riding the Ducati. And it is a competitive bike. Wilf Moore and his team at Moto Rapido put a fantastic motorcycle together. He's standing in for the injured Kuba Smerts for Brands Hatch, and possibly Snetterton as well if Kuba's wrist isn't healed sufficiently. And especially at a circuit, a high-speed circuit like Thruxton, he will need to be in reasonable fitness shape. Best of luck to John Hopkins and to Wilf Moore and the rest of the team. We'll report on that after the weekend in the next show. Martin is on holiday now for July, but as Sharon Amir went home a week before him, and he clearly had far too much time on his hands, he left us with a little bit of a stat attack. The perception is that Rossi wins by tiny margins, making for more exciting racing, whereas Stoner and Lorenzo in particular generally pull away at the front and lead home a processional race. So we have the evidence. The average margin of victory for every GP class win since 2007, which was the introduction of the 800cc era, but mainly as that was the first year we had an alien other than Valentino Rossi, for each of the recent aliens, Rossi, Stoner, Lorenzo and Marquez, Pedrosa wasn't included because he's never won a title, then by way of comparison to the good old days, we have Mick Doohan. So we have Rossi, Stoner, Lorenzo and Marquez along with Mick Doohan, all MotoGP stroke 500cc champions. And it appears that if you include all of Rossi's 500cc GP and MotoGP class wins, his average win time is 3.1 seconds. When you look at Casey Stoner, it's 5.7. Jorge Lorenzo is 5.4. And then you come to the two extremes. Marc Marquez's average win time is 2 seconds, whereas Mick Doohan's average win time was 8 seconds. Crikey, that's a lot. So that would seem to bear out the perception, except that Marquez is by far the closest winner we have. That Rossi's wins, yes, usually are quite entertaining, with an average of 3.1 seconds, but it appears that Marc Marquez's are a little bit more exciting, and that Doohan was potentially sleep-inducing, looking at those figures. But those of you that witnessed that that era, such as myself, Martin, some of the older guys, and obviously Harry and his anorak, who's watched all the videos and caught up on it all, will know that it wasn't particularly that bad for the dominance of Doohan and the old 500cc days. But an interesting little stat attack nonetheless, and I think as we record the show, Martin has now returned to this fair isle. So that's the end of Martin's stats and his appearance on the show for the remainder of July. So we wish him well back in the UK. Enjoys his stay back over here and keeps some of the warm sunshine that we've had over the last couple of weeks. Just for interest, though, following on from that, in Rossi's first Yamaha year of 2004, he won 9 races. 6 of them were by less than a second. And of the 3 over 1 second, the largest margin was only 5.1 seconds. So it was still less than Doohan's average of 8 and Lorenzo and Stoner's at 5.4 and 5.7. So there's one for the bar for you while you're having a chat with your mates over the next few weeks, just to a little bit of pub conversation for you. Into further news, it emerges that Stefan Bradl's recovery from the broken scaphoid he suffered at Assen has not recovered sufficiently for him to compete at his home race this weekend. His place on a forward race in Yamaha will be taken by Claudio Corti. That should be entertaining. Hopefully he'll complete the race and do the forward racing Yamaha team a little bit of good service. Speaking of breaking things and the disappointment of not racing this weekend, Well, he may well do, knowing Tito Rabat. Unfortunately, he's broken the right collarbone whilst doing one of his customary marathon training days at Almeria, wearing a groove into the Spanish circuit. It was in a reasonable amount of pieces. He's had surgery, had it plated, but he actually expects to be fit for the Saxon Ring race weekend. Shit, he's a tough kid. We'll bring you more on that next week as the weekend unfolds, but it remains to be seen whether he races or not. We will find out over the next day or two. As I record this, it's now Thursday evening, as Harry is still frantically somewhere in Barcelona trying to refit his Wi-Fi. Over, still in MotoGP, over at Aprilia, no more Melandri as he and Aprilia finally break up. Rumours are that he's gotten his full wage for the year as well, which is rumoured to be north of €800,000. He'll be replaced by Tyco BMW's BSB rider Michael Laverty, who's also the Aprilia test rider. It's not confirmed for how long, but there are no date clashes between MotoGP and British Superbikes until Phillip Island, which I believe clashes with the final round at Brands Hatch. So if he wants to go for the full European rounds, he has 3 weekends for each of those up until Aragon is the last European round, isn't it? So good luck to Michael, friend of the show. It'd be nice to see him back in MotoGP again, just as his form's coming towards something decent in British Superbikes. We'll come on to that shortly as we review Knockhill briefly. But we'll round off the news with some sad news that the esteemed road race doctor, Dr. John Hines, sadly died while providing medical cover for the practice sessions at the Skerries 100 road races in Ireland earlier this week. Many of you on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, will have seen pictures. And any of you guys that caught the coverage of the Northwest 200, the doctor was featured heavily in the coverage on there for the great work that he did on his BMW S1000RR, chasing the pack around to be on the scene for any unfortunate eventualities. He saved an awful lot of lives. He saved an awful lot of patients. It's a very, very sad loss to the road racing community. And we send our deepest sympathies to Dr. John Hines' family, friends, and to the racing world as a whole.
Hello, hi, it's me, Harry again. Managed to fix the Wi-Fi eventually, but as I'm editing this, I just thought that I'd add my condolences to John Hines and all of his family and friends. And just unfortunately carrying on a bit more unfortunate news, Kenny Noyes, son of Dennis Noyes. Dennis, you know, been on the show a couple of times. I think Kenny's probably been on the show as well. But lots of people will know Kenny either from his Moto2 days back when that class first started, or from the Super Prestigio and a lot of flat track stuff he does. Kenny was racing in the CEV Championship at Aragon last weekend and unfortunately suffered quite a serious crash in warm-up just before the race. He made contact with the wall and was put into an induced coma. It's not fully known the extent of his injuries that he suffered, but Dennis has been updating everyone via Twitter, at Dennis Noyes on Twitter, and Kenny has now been taken off the medication that keeps you sedated and in a coma. So hopefully he'll be able to make a full recovery, and all of our thoughts are with both Kenny and Dennis at this difficult time. And yeah, this came as a pretty big shock to me personally. Obviously, just started working in the CEV paddock, and you know, I'm not going to try and sit here and say that I was friends with Kenny or with Dennis, but Dennis is a really friendly guy, and you know, he was more than happy to come up and give me and my co-commentator some hints as to what people were doing with tyres and all that sort of thing. And, you know, Kenny was the sort of guy who, you know, he might not have known your name, but he still gave you the old thumbs up in the paddock. So I really do hope that Kenny is able to make a full recovery and that everyone in the Noyes family is okay after this. And now back to Dave, who's doing a wonderful job with the solo show so far.
We move on now to BSB. Knockhill was the scene for round... Yes, it was round 5. I get confused because the Superstocks are now on round 6, courtesy of their excursions with the World Superbike teams at Donington Park. So round five of the British Superbikes at Knockhill. It was a little bit of a PBM. It's a bit of a parade, really, for them. Not a parade in the racing sense, but certainly for the team as a whole. BSB race one was won by Shane Byrne from Stuart Easton and Josh Brooks in third place. Michael Laverty got fourth, but unfortunately was hit with a one-second penalty for overtaking under waved yellows as he went up the inside of Josh Brooks at the hairpin as James Rose slid out of the race. So they didn't initially pick that up on the TV, but Josh Brooks went on TV afterwards to explain that, yes, Michael Laverty did overtake under waved yellows. It wasn't until after race two had been completed that the judgment came down from race direction. The Tyco BMW man was hit with a 1 second penalty, which put him back to fourth place because he actually finished the race in second place ahead of Stuart Easton, but unfortunately demoted back to fourth place, which is still his equal best finish of the season as he continues to get used to the fly-by-wire throttle of the Tyco BMW, but a masterful win by Shane Byrne, which a monstrous 0.495 of a second from his teammate, who always shines well at Knockhill, and it'd be good to see Stuart Easton carry that forward now as the teams reassemble at Brands Hatch at the end of next week. But through practice sessions, Shane Byrne led the way. He seems to have hit a rich vein of form after his double at Snetterton last time out. And that made it three from three for Shane Byrne, ahead of, as we said, Easton and Brooks on the podium. Laverty, O'Halloran, Buchan, Bridewell, Mossy showing well in eighth, Westmoreland and friend of the show, Peter Hickman, rounding out the top ten. A few casualties from race one. Unfortunately, Yuichi Kiyonari's season continues to be on a reasonably downward spiral. He doesn't seem to be able to get a hold of the form that he showed last year that took him into a title showdown at Brands Hatch with Shane Byrne before he unfortunately broke his collarbone on Saturday morning free practice. So he seems to be struggling with the Hawk BMW, but the build-based BMW, but hopefully before it's too late, he can turn that round and ease his way into the showdown, which would be a bit of a loss if he didn't make it quite that far. Also, for the who was really the form man of the first three rounds, James Ellison, so much so that he led the championship after three rounds. He had a weekend to forget, unfortunately, at Knockhill. The DNF at it was in fact the same corner at the same time as Ryuichi Kiyonari on lap nine. It was an unusual little affair with James sliding out first and then Kiyo sliding out almost immediately after. There was deemed nothing on the track, and it ended up as unfortunately just one of those things. But it seems that with his two broken ribs from Snetterton, it seems that things at the moment are going from bad to worse for James Ellison. So hopefully a turnaround of form at Brands Hatch will arrest that slightly. But as a bit of a tonic for his off, he did actually put in the fastest lap of the race, which put him on pole for race two, which was a two-part affair, really. There was a crash at the back of the field, which left debris on the circuit, so the red flag was shown, safety always being the primary concern for Stuart Higgs and his team of Race Safe Marshals at BSB. But again, it was Shane Byrne that led the way, 11 laps, an 11-lap sprint to the finish. Shane Byrne, from the early pace setter Stuart Easton, unceremoniously pushed aside by the reigning British Superbike champion, ahead of Josh Brooks, who was within a second of the race winner, so a little more development coming on the new Yamaha R1, the Milwaukee Yamaha, and Josh Brooks. It seems that they're in development every race. They really are working hard on that new R1. New tanks are being used, new linkages, swing arms. As far as I know, the engine is still reasonably stock. It's not actually a full race engine yet. That's all to come. But it seems every session they go out, they're testing and doing something. And I've seen on social media tonight that they've been in the workshop today with Josh in his helmet, full leathers, with the bike on a slight angle, tipped up, nose heavy, doing some more work and some more development, ready for Brands Hatch next weekend. So it's a non-stop run for the Milwaukee Yamaha boys. And a double podium for them was just desserts. Keo did make it up to fourth place in race two, so a little bit of form coming in ahead of Jason O'Halloran. Michael Laverty, he dropped away to sixth place after challenging for the podium again.
Ahead of Danny Buchan, James Westmoreland, Peter Hickman, going one better in race two for ninth. And Bennett Suzuki's Christian Eden rounding out the top 10. Not so many of the DNFs in this race, but unfortunately, James Ellison was one of them. Just really wasn't his weekend. And the fastest lap with a new lap record, PBM Shane Byrne, with a reasonably decent lap round there of 48.252. Championship standings. Shaky Byrne leads the way after his double-double. That puts him on 201 points ahead of Josh Brooks, who's 35 points back with a... I mean, Josh, he's hitting a little bit of form as well. His consistency's there. He's rarely outside of the top three. So he's in second place on merit. He's had 3 second places and he's had 6 thirds, which gives him 15 podium credits at this point towards the end of the regular season. Shaky leads away on 5 wins, 3 seconds and a third, put him in 35 points. Stuart Easton in third place. At the moment, he is 62 points in the standard season, at least. 62 points shy of the championship leader, James Ellison, in fourth. The early championship leader after the second round, if you forgive me from before. Jason O'Halloran, superb. The Stock 1000 runner-up from last season. He's 105 points back, but only 22 points back of Ellison on 96. And Tommy Bridewell is the last of the showdown contenders as it stands at the moment on 86 points. Michael Laverty, he's the guy that he's the one loitering with intent just outside of that top six after Bridewell came away with just the one race finish, which in race one with a DNF in race two. So Laverty being a little bit of the form man for the Tyco Suzuki team at the moment, despite Bridewell's single win at Alton Park. So if we look at the stand-ins going into the showdown, if the showdown was to end after the Knockhill round, Shaky would lead the way on 5.35, Josh Brooks on 5.15, with Easton on 5.12. James Ellison, by virtue of his 3 wins in a second, would be 5.18, so that would put him in second place ahead of Brooks. And then would come Tommy Bridewell, Dan Linfoot, and then Jason O'Halloran. So that would be the showdown series as it stands at the moment. We have Brands Hatch to come, as we said, but first off this weekend, it's the turn of Der Sachsenring this weekend. So the MotoGP, Moto2 and Moto3 boys are out there this weekend. Weather forecast looks reasonable. It's been raining today, but the weather forecast for the rest of the weekend looks reasonable. Always entertaining from the Sachsenring, especially the top of the waterfall. I'm sure the high motion camera's already in place, ready to catch the action as the guys drop away down the right hander to head off down into the waterfall. Looking forward to the footage from there. I know Harry's going to be very busy this weekend doing his coverage for Dorna and for MotoGP.com and the social media feeds, which is why I'm doing this solo show now, so we can hopefully, if he does get too busy tomorrow, at least we have something for your ears. Although I'm sure you're already fed up of listening to me already. Coming up the week after, we have World Superbikes at Laguna Seca. BSB at Brands Hatch, as we've already covered, and also Moto America. They'll piggyback onto the World Superbike round, as is tradition, to get their profile raised alongside the World Superbike boys. Things are getting very busy again for us now. It's going to be almost every weekend is a race weekend now. But also, speaking of race weekends and being busy, I think we're too busy to cover the MCN Fantasy League. The pin number 19132, if you haven't already joined. 234 members as at the 6th of July 2015. At this point in time, Steve James, MK Racing, 1,050 points is top of the tree and is 27th overall in the MCN Fantasy League. In second place, Mark Crewe, Haringworth Hustlers, 1,048 points, so very tight there, just the 2 points in it. And in third place, our very own Scott Bolton, Team Moto Dog, 1,037 points. So fantastic showing there for Scott Bolton. Congratulations, Scott. Keep it up, because you're 110 points ahead of our best one to offer, which is Martin Darlington and his Doha Donuts on 927. Jules Cisek is 33rd, Harry is 86, I'm 109th and slipping because I made a really crap decision for BSB. Yeah, shock horror, considering that's supposedly my speciality. Jim's 168th and Len is 208th. So some work to do for the boys down there, but yeah, I wasn't going to cover that this weekend with some of my ridiculously poor decisions, but yes, I have to. It's part of what I do with the show, and it's in the contract that we cover the MCN Fantasy League as much as I don't want to. But at least I'm not going to get the wooden spoon this year, eh? That would be a first. So that's the roundup on a solo show. Not as easy as it sounds, especially when you're being interrupted by one of your riders wanting to be verified on Twitter, on WhatsApp. So thanks for that, Jordan. And we'll try and get you verified at some point. Thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with us while the show was in a bit of limbo with technical difficulties. We'll hopefully see you next week. We may even not put all this together. This might not even see the light of day if Harry can get his Wi-Fi sorted and we get something into place for tomorrow. If we don't, I've been Dave Neal. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back in touch next week. Who the hosts are, we don't know. We know it won't be Martin. He's on holiday. Could be me and Harry again, could be me and Jim, could be me and Len, it could be any combination of those. We might even see Jules make a return again, quite sharpish after his triumphant return last week. We had a great amount of listener feedback, both on social media and via email, for the return of Jules, and it really was great to hear him back on the show again. So welcome back, mate. Thanks for rejoining us, and I hope it's not too long before you join us again. Okay, that'll do from me. Harry, bring that closing music in, play the outtakes, especially if you have the one from the initial phone call when you rang earlier. And that'll do. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
It came up that it hadn't delivered yet.
Oh, no, it did. It came up on my phone, so we're all good.
All right, okay. Just give me 2 seconds, yeah?
Okay, no worries. Bye. Well, that was an interesting experience.
Normally, I just expect you to say, yeah, give me a couple of minutes. And I did that and I thought, oh, shit, I need to go for a quick waz first and take my contact lenses.
Well, I think we've all learnt a valuable lesson there.
But when I looked at it, it just had the one tick on it. It didn't have the two ticks. I thought, great, I've got a chance to do this. And then, hang on, I've got my phone to my ear and my knob in my hand. Sorry, mate.
No worries. I'll get over that mental scarring someday.
Oh, you hung up really quickly.
Yep. As soon as I realised what was going on, that was, yep.
It's been a while.